Bridgerland Para X is a paranormal expo in Logan, Utah. Some of the speakers include those from TV, radio, podcasts, YouTube, and authors of paranormal books. Booths, food, exhibits, speakers, storytellers, games, prizes, and more were at this event. Mike and Melissa were able to talk to some of the speakers that were with them at the Para X Conference 2021. Stay tuned. Mystery Media Group presents Case File 37.
Are listening to Mystery Media Group.
Yay! So Paracon.
Yes.
We are all together, except we're missing a few, but we have the majority of us here. Mike and Melissa from Destination Mystery. John and Annie, do you want to introduce yourselves?
This is John Olson and Annie Olson from Stranger Bridgerland and the Para X. We are the producers of Para X, I guess you could put it that way.
Yes. Thank you so much for putting it on. It was awesome.
It was. You did a fantastic job.
Great job.
Oh, thank you.
Yes.
Kristen, do you want to introduce yourself?
Sure. I'm Kristen Clay from Story Tours, the Ogden and Salt Lake City Ghost Tours.
So we were all together at the Para X convention that just happened in Cache County, Utah, on October 9th. And we thought we'd just get together and do a quick little rundown of the event, see how everybody enjoyed the experience. John, why don't you and Annie start off?
So when I first met John and he kind of let his ghost out of the closet, so to speak, and he told me he had all those collected stories. And I said, what are you going to do with all those stories? He says, well, one day I'm going to put them in a book. I said, well, cool. You should do it now. Why aren't you doing it? And so then he started his first book and that kind of happened. And so here we are 5 years later and five books later. And he goes, you know, one day I want to have a paranormal convention up here in Cache Valley because there's nothing like that. And I said, well, why don't we just make the leap and do it? And so late last year, we decided that we were going to do it and really started taking action like February or March. And it just came together from there. We learned a lot. There's a lot more to running an event than we thought, but it went pretty well.
It went really well. John, what a great woman you have. I mean, she just helped you accomplish all your goals and dreams. And
yeah, she's amazing. And I'll tell you, ever since, you know, we finished and we decided to do it again, you know, I come home and she's like, look, I've done this and this and this today, and I'm getting ready for this. And what do you think about these patches? And she's just on the ball already. So she's an amazing woman. So
that's awesome, Annie. So
yeah, all I'm all excited because Bigfoot's kind of our go-to. We really love Bigfoot at our house. Our dog is even named after Bigfoot. His name is Squatch.
Oh, are you kidding? That's
an awesome. Yeah. Yeah. He's a big black lab. And so his name is Squatch. And so we kind of, this first year, everything was, you know, keep it Squatchy and Squatch and Sasquatch and everything. So this next year, we want to do more alien. So I've already picked out our swag bag. It's going to be alien, and our keychain's going to be alien, and our patch is going to be a little alien sitting Indian style. He's holding a book that says, I believe in yourself.
Oh,
oh cute. I love it.
So we're excited. I want to do some of that a little bit earlier so that we have some more access to do what we want instead of kind of what would fit in the time frame, you know?
Yeah. People would be able to collect the patches.
Yeah. So definitely kind of want to theme it by year. So we stuck with Sasquatch this last year, and every year we'll try and just sort of highlight another cryptid of some sort, or I'm thinking maybe next year will be like just ghosts in general. Right. And that's kind of cute for October. But we want to be able to have people collect it and want it and kind of be like, okay, I have them from the very beginning. And especially the speakers, I want them to be able to show that they've got all the bags and all the patches from the years.
Yeah, I've used my bag like a ton already. And everybody's like, where'd you get that? And I'm like,
yeah, I have to decide now if I want to offer, because we only really had them as swag bags for the speakers. I think I might offer, when we put our merch up on a site, I might offer 2021 stuff, just because it's still catching on that it's a collectible thing.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea.
Yeah. Really,
it is.
So John, 5 books later, how does that make you feel?
It's pretty cool. I'm kind of excited about that. I've already started on number 6 so that I can try and get it done. I've spent the last month interviewing a lot of people, because what was cool about the Para X was there was a lot of people that went there and I got contacts there, because they were like, oh, I have a story I'd love to tell you. So kind of worked out good that way.
That was one thing that really amazed me about the event. We had so many people come by our table. I was like, I hope we get a few. And we were busy all day long, but the majority of them wanted to just talk. They wanted to tell us one of their experiences. And a lot of them were like, we've never told this to anybody before. So it was almost like they were looking for a space that they felt comfortable enough to share it with, because they knew something had happened and they couldn't explain it and not everybody would understand. So I think that was a great thing for a lot of people to come in and be with other people that do understand and do believe and that sort of thing. I'm sure you had a lot of that too, didn't you, Kristen?
Yes, we did. I couldn't believe how many people, we collected names. Even an ancestor of one of our ghosts happened to come to our booth and tell us how it's related. And we have his name, and he's going to have his sister contact us, who knows more of the genealogical stories and how it went down. So that was a really fun person to meet, but so many. And they wanted to share their stories. It was exciting to hear and to give them that space and that respect that they don't always get with the general public when they talk about these things.
Right.
So that was really neat.
There was a gentleman there selling charcoal pitchers.
He's my new best friend, by the way.
Oh, I love him. He had done a charcoal off of a pitcher. And it turns out that one of the booths she's kind of a empath, and she's like really fixated on this one pitcher. And it turns out that sometime during the day, somebody came to her booth and she was prompted to ask them about that pitcher. And he'd been trying to figure out how to return the original pitcher to somebody that was family. And it turns out that they were there. And so he could give that original photo back to somebody that was family of that person. And it was through that a medium feeling that she was just really focused on that picture until that took place. And then she could kind of let it go.
To me, that's beyond a coincidence.
Oh, it is. Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah. I bought one of his pictures. Well, actually I didn't buy it. My daughter bought it for me for my birthday because I loved it. It was the alien one. I don't know if you guys saw it.
Oh, I did see it. Yeah.
It is the coolest picture ever. And it's so detailed. It looks so real. There's a reflection in the eyes and you see another alien in the reflection. And
yeah. Isn't he just an amazing artist?
Yes. I love him, so I contacted him and I'm like, hey, you don't happen to have a Bigfoot, do you? Because I looked at his website and there wasn't one on there. And he's like, yeah, actually I do. So I bought a Bigfoot from him and a skull. And then we ended up doing a Halloween giveaway, and he did a Halloween drawing, and Mike and I gave away one of our books for a contest.
Cool.
Yeah. He's going to be around Novemberfest too. So if you missed him at Para X, go see him there.
Very cool.
If you like the Sasquatch a lot, one of my favorite pictures that's in the newest book, my niece, she drew the coolest Sasquatch. It just is so friendly and it looks like his hair is blowing in the wind. And
this is in my last book, the one about the Bigfoot in Alaska.
Oh, that is beautiful.
Your niece drew that?
Yeah, she does all my illustrations for my books.
Really?
Yeah.
He did that on an iPad. It's just the top half of him, but it's such a pretty gentle picture.
Yes.
That's awesome. Kristen, tell us what you do.
So what we do, we interview people in the buildings and the house, places and the areas around. Right now, we're just doing Ogden and Salt Lake City about their ghosts and their paranormal experiences. And then we do tours and take people to the haunted places and share the stories with them. We also have a book, Haunted Salt Lake City. We have the adult version and then Ghostly Tales of Salt Lake City, which is for middle grades. And this year we'll be writing about 5 other books.
And are all these 5 books going to be from Utah?
Yes, different counties. So we're excited. And we do a similar, I guess what John does, we just interview people about their stories, what they've experienced. So everything we do is first or secondhand account, historically documented, or we've experienced it ourselves. We've had a lot of ghostly experiences during the last, we just realized it's been 20 years. So
you've been doing this for 20 years?
Yes, oh, we're the original ghost tour company in Utah. So
good for you.
Yeah.
If nobody has ever heard them tell their stories, you'll sit there with your mouth open, just like, wow, because you guys are so good at telling those stories.
Oh, thank you.
You're professional storytellers, aren't you?
Yes. Yeah. All of us right now are professional storytellers that are doing
it. And you can tell they're so good.
It's fun.
I actually learned about one of the Utah ghost stories from your book. It's the one about John Baptiste.
Yes. He's the one whose relative we met.
No way. <descendant. laughs> What?
Yes. So that was really fun. And he gave us a different perspective on him. Not as crazy as we all thought. But
because he was accused of robbing graves, right?
Over 350 graves. Yeah.
Oh, he's the one that they ended up putting out on the island and he disappeared. Yes.
Yeah. He did.
Yep. So, I remember that.
What does his relative say about his disappearance?
Well, not about the disappearance so much, but about the mentality of robbing the grave. He was from Australia. He owned a church there. And he said in some of the cultures there that when people died, it wasn't a bad thing to take all their things. And so it was more of a business transaction in his mind. He wasn't defiling the graves, but I don't know, the condition that he threw the bodies back in still felt like he was defiling them. Sheriff Heath, when he went to his house, he said everything in the house seemed to be made out of funeral shrouds, he called it, including the curtains and the slip covers on the furniture. So they were utilizing everything they took. And then when he was arrested, he was wearing a Prince Edward striped suit that had belonged to a saloon keeper who had died like 3 months before. So when he was in prison, when they put him in Salt City Jail, the inmates recognized the suit he was wearing and he had to be put in solitary to protect him. And a mob gathered outside. So that's when they decided to sneak him out to the island. They were going to put him on Antelope Island, but it was too accessible. There was a sandbar that went out there. So then they decided to take him further to Fremont Island, which 2 brothers used Fremont Island to run their cattle.
I mean, I guess people bury their dead in their finest. And so he probably had some really nice things.
Oh, he did. And what they didn't find at the house, or what they did find at the house, they went down to Washington Square, which is where the city county building is. And they laid out 10 tables with all of the belongings that they had found in his house and confiscated. And relatives would come and they claimed the clothes and the belongings, the watches and the shoes. And many people were digging their relatives so they could redress them. Caused such an uproar that Brigham Young had to call a special conference assuring the people that their loved ones would be resurrected fully clothed and to allow them to rest in peace. So any of the clothes that weren't collected down there on Washington Square on those 10 long tables that they had spread out were buried in a coffin. They just put everything in all of the belongings and then buried those in the Salt Lake City Cemetery.
It reminded me of a story. When I was a teenager, one of my friend's oldest brother was a mortician in Alaska. And I remember he had come to visit his brother and we all went for a hike. And I noticed that he had this really nice North Face jacket on. And I said, oh, that's a really nice jacket. I said, what happened in the back? Because on the back corner, it had been re-sewn. And he said, oh, he said, well, the guy that originally had it died in this. He fell off a cliff. And I looked at him. And he said, well, when they come in or if they're in a car accident, the insurance pays the family for everything they're wearing and everything in the car. So it just goes to the morticians and they can do what they want to. And so I have some clothes and I have a golf clubs from a guy that died. And I looked at him and I thought, there is no way I would wear the clothes of somebody who had died. He goes, oh, I just sewed it up and washed the blood out. It was just fine. And I was just dumbfounded that anybody could do that. I was just mortified.
He didn't think it was jinxed, huh?
Right. That's the first thing I thought, that it would be totally jinxed. I'm like, oh, that's horrible.
No.
You know, come to think of it, I don't think it's that big of a, I mean, I think that's a great idea.
I'm just kidding.
He's like, yeah, that's where I got my really nice golf clubs. Some guy was driving home from golfing and crashed, and the family gets paid for everything in the car, and we're not going to just throw it away. And I'm like, I know people that won't use a golf ball if it goes in the rough because it's got bad mojo and
you're right.
Dead guy's golf club.
Michael, did you keep any of the clothes that off of the people that you had to bury at the cemetery?
No, but sometimes we use the flowers for girls when we had to throw them away.
Yep.
Probably shouldn't mention that, but we did.
Did they know?
Oh, no. They thought we were sweethearts for bringing them flowers.
It was so romantic.
We were supposed to throw them away, but...
Here, I'm going to make my date's corsage out of this. Don't tell her it came off of her uncle's grave.
Oh, my.
Well, when they recognize it, maybe... Just put that out.
Wait, didn't I put that... That looks awfully familiar.
Right.
Oh, crazy stories.
I did take my shoe out of a grave and put it back on when I stepped in it and lost it. But does that count?
Sure, I guess that counts.
All right. Go ahead.
So, Kirsten, you're a professional storyteller. So it was probably not any big deal for you to get in front of a crowd and talk. Did you enjoy that and the people that were there?
It was so fun. And it was so fun looking at their faces and their expressions, you know, as we shared the stories and the experiences. And we talked about the importance of ghost stories. And just seeing people nod and agree and even, wow, understanding that this really is something that is important for us and for our development, not just entertainment. So that was really fun watching their faces and their expressions. And so many people came up with comments afterwards and asked questions or added to the stories or their own experiences again. So that made it very rewarding.
Yeah. In fact, we talked about this a little bit there, Kristen, but I hate the term ghost hunter. When we go on a paranormal investigation, our whole purpose is to find out why the paranormal activity is happening. Is there a ghost that's there for a reason? Do they need to tell us something?
Right.
What's their story? Let's learn about their story and their history and try to get it out there so people can learn more about the events and things that happened in the past. There's something we can help them with. Is it just residual? You know, all that kind of stuff. But it's...
Right.
My idea of going on a paranormal investigation is not to go, you know, probing
and even, wow, understanding that this really is something that is important for us and for our development, not just entertainment. So that was really fun watching their faces and their expressions. And so many people came up with comments afterwards and asked questions or added to the stories or their own experiences again. So that made it very rewarding.
Yeah. In fact, we talked about this a little bit there, Kristen, but I hate the term ghost hunter. When we go on a paranormal investigation, our whole purpose is to find out why the paranormal activity is happening. Is there a ghost that's there for a reason? Do they need to tell us something?
Right.
What's their story? Let's learn about their story and their history and try to get it out there so people can learn more about the events and things that happened in the past. There's something we can help them with. Is it just residual? You know, all that kind of stuff. But it's
right.
My idea of going on a paranormal investigation is not to go, you know, probing and prodding and trying to upset them. And these shows on TV just
make it
so frustrating.
I've never watched one.
And not everything is evil. Like, in fact,
no,
we've probably definitely only encountered maybe two or three, Michael, and they're not, and they weren't even necessarily evil, just mad. They didn't want us there.
Right.
Oh, right.
Well, when I started Ghost Tours and went around doing the interviews in 2002, I was expecting a little more Hollywood ghosts, but not one person shared a Hollywood ghost story. Every story was, you know, of these people. And Laurie likes to say ghosts are people too. Her story guide, Laurie Allen.
But they were at one time.
They were. And so when we'd find out who they were or do some, we would do the historical research. So we spend a lot of time at the Utah Historical Library trying to find out if we could who they are. And so that's why I'm excited to team up with you guys so that we can really maybe even communicate with them and find out more. Why are you still here? And what are you doing? How can we help you?
Yeah, and I'm so excited, so excited. So Mike and I are going to team up with your tour company and do some investigations here and there. So those people that are always asking to come on investigations with us, now is your chance.
Right. Storytours.com. We will have them posted.
Yes. It's going to be a good time. I can't wait. I was doing research on an investigation that we had just done because it's one of those where we went in blind and didn't know anything. So we got some answers and I wanted to go back and see if, you know, perhaps what we got was really accurate. And surprisingly it was, but as I started researching this, then it led me to this other one. And then it led me to this other one. And I had spent my entire Saturday researching these stories and I was fascinated by each and every one of them.
Right.
It's addicting.
We have dubbed ourselves accidental historians.
Yeah, there you go.
Because we, to really understand the ghost, we need to understand their time period, to understand who they are and what they were doing. Really had to understand the historical background. That made it fun.
Well, that's exciting that you guys are going to go do that. Like you say, it just adds another element to what both of you do with the storytelling and the ghost experiences. And again, I just want to kind of reiterate what you said about when you're going in to help somebody, because I've had the opportunity to help a few people here and there as well. You see the television shows, and especially one in particular that seems to get possessed every time he goes into a house.
I think you're going to his museum.
And I'm going to go to his museum. Yeah, he's going to go to his museum. But I kind of use the story of if you had a hornet's nest and you hired an exterminator and all he did was come and throw rocks at the hornet's nest and then go home, that wouldn't be a very good experience. You know, that wouldn't be a great exterminator. Not that we're exterminating the ghosts, but you know, why stir up and cause trouble and then just leave for the poor people?
Right.
Annie and I share this all the time that people who have passed on, it's just like meeting 10 people on the street. 9 out of 10 are going to be really good people. It's that 10th person that's a jerk.
Yeah.
Right.
And if they're a jerk in life, they're going to be a jerk in the afterlife. And those are the ones right. that you kind of have to watch out for. So
exactly.
We were at Twist at the Bistro in Salt Lake City about a week and a half ago interviewing some of the workers. And we're talking to one of the bartenders. Actually, it was downstairs in the one called The Exchange. And we're listening to this man telling his story. And he was telling us about the ghost. And he talked about seeing a little boy and an older man, and they were running. And the little boy was laughing, and the man was kind of laughing too. And as he's telling us, he goes on and he's telling us then a personal story. And all of a sudden, something tapped me on the shoulder, and I thought it was Nanette Watts, one of our story guides. So I turned to her, and she was writing. She had one hand on the bar and the other hand writing. And all of a sudden, my eyes got big, and she looked at me and knew something happened. So afterwards, when this gentleman was done telling his story, what happened is somebody tapped me on the shoulder and I thought it was you. But the word that popped in my head after this was the word cheeky, because it felt playful. So I am wanting to know more about this little boy. I know it was him because it was such a playful tap on the shoulder. And when cheeky popped into my head, it's not a term that Americans use very often. And so I want to know, is he from England? Is he one of the immigrants that came, those mass immigrations into Utah? And if he was part of the pioneers, worked in this old boiler room that provided the heat for 4 buildings there, was he one of the workers? Because children did work. But whatever reason he was there, I'd love to know his history. That's why I'm so excited to go in there.
I was just going to say,
find out more about this little boy.
Maybe we'll get him to talk to us. And
I hope so.
And he's going to come across with an English accent.
I really am. I'm thinking that, because why else would cheeky pop into my head?
That's not a word we use here, really. Yeah.
No, it's not an American word, but that's what it felt like. He was being cheeky.
When Mike and I talk about some of the things that we do, people are always like, oh my gosh, I couldn't do that. It's so scary. And I'm like, you know, just come with us one time. Mm-hmm. It's really not that scary. Sometimes you get a little rush of adrenaline, and that's kind of the thing that I really like too. But for the most part, it's not scary. Those answers start coming across and you're like, holy cow, is this really happening? This mm-hmm. is so exciting. And you get this feeling of awe almost when either you know the story and the answers you're getting are
very accurate, or you don't know the story and you go back and research and find out that the answers you got were pretty accurate, or they at least fit in somehow. It's amazing.
The first ghost hunt I went on was about a year ago, and they were holding the dowsing rods and asking questions. And I was like, I am skeptical of the dowsing rods. And so I asked if I could hold them. So after I got the hang of holding onto them, I was really amazed, because now I knew firsthand that I wasn't manipulating them. It was really pretty cool.
Yes. And we like to joke in Ogden, Utah, especially, we say, well, the history is much scarier than any of the ghosts. So
agreed. And to me, the people that we may encounter in some of those places are way more scarier than
them. I know. We're more afraid of the living than the dead. Yeah. We're walking down those dark streets at night.
Hey, Mike, is Michelle with you?
Yeah, she's right here.
She's one of our team members, and she runs an account called Time Forgot, and hers is all about the history stories that old buildings tell. Do you want to talk about that at all, Michelle?
Sure. I love antiques, old things that people just forget, and I capture them in photographs before they disappear, before the world decides that they're not needed anymore. History is important, and I love to look at the old buildings. Recently, we have found some ghost towns that aren't on any maps, and we've been exploring those lately and trying to find history on them. My pictures range from Idaho, Wyoming, Utah, Montana, Oregon, and South Dakota.
Michelle started out as one of those, I'm not going with you to any of these places. I'm not going to do it. And your opinion changed quickly.
It did. Well, I grew up with bad experiences and things happening in my home when I was little, and they were scary. And as a kid, they really affected me. But going with Mike and Melissa, and we had a lot of positive experiences, things that weren't so scary and that were actually really sweet experiences on some of them. It made it less scary. It made it more fun. The locations we were able to go to were just fascinating to go to that you wouldn't really think about. It just brought a whole new side of the paranormal that I'd never thought about.
Sorry, the subject that we just got onto reminds me of a story. So we went to the Wyoming Frontier Prison to do an investigation. We knew all the stories. We knew about the inmates and everything that was being told. So we go in looking for that, right? We're asking questions surrounding these inmates and the big stories that everybody tells. But Michael captures a picture on his thermal of a young woman. So we're obviously thinking that this is Annie, who is the most famous female inmate in the prison. And she supposedly made a pie with poison and killed her father. So we asked, hey, can we go up to the women's ward? Maybe she needs to talk to us. You know, she's obviously hanging around. She's interested. So the guide reluctantly took us up there. When we got up to the women's ward, they had pictures of all the women on the walls, and we were kind of automatically drawn to one particular photo. And I had no idea what Annie looked like, but I was assuming this was Annie. So we start talking and asking questions. Is this Annie? And didn't we get a no, Hattie?
And it said Hattie several times, to where it finally just yelled it at us.
Yeah. Oh, and so we were like, well, who's Hattie?
Yeah.
And the guide that was with us, she told us the story of Hattie. And then she took us down to her gift shop there was a book that was actually for the female prisoners and kind of told their stories. Well, after we got reading the book, we realized that the story they were telling in the prison was not accurate. And so we were able to kind of give her a voice on our podcast by telling her story. And it was really strange how our investigation at this Wyoming Frontier Prison, who we thought was going to be spooky and we were going to get some inmate activity, and we did, but it turned into this story of this poor young woman who didn't get her story told right. And we were able to do that for her. So it was kind of cool.
That's beautiful. It really is. So neat.
Didn't you see a picture of Hattie?
Yeah. The picture that
I
saw.
Did it look like the picture on the thermal?
Yep. I'm sure that's who it was. So back to the Para-X convention. I mean, Mike and I came up with a bunch of new ideas for next year, and we're really excited to hopefully be doing it again next year. And I have to say that probably my favorite part, along with being able to talk to everybody that wanted to share their stories, was the panel.
Oh, yeah.
That was fun.
That was a lot of fun.
I enjoyed the questions that were asked. I enjoyed the people that were there, and all of us were kind of able to share our own thoughts and ideas and stuff on that panel. And I thought that was pretty cool. What about you guys?
Yeah, I love the questions. They were great questions. And I loved how on the same page so many of us on the panel were. That was really fun too.
Yeah, I thought it was great because there were so many good questions. And I just love the energy that everybody brought, like from the panels and the people that were visiting and people had booths. I mean, all of it was just really cool.
Isn't the paranormal community amazing? They're so supportive. Everybody's supportive of each other.
Yeah.
They are way more fun than the normal people.
Not only that, but they're real.
Yeah.
They felt real. They're authentic. Yeah. They are who they are and they don't apologize for it. Mm-hmm. I love that.
Yeah.
And even if they don't know who they are, they're seeking people that are like them, that are open-minded about this kind of thing.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
And even if you're not totally 100% on board or you don't agree with everything somebody's saying, you at least have an open mind and you understand where they're coming from.
Right.
Because you were once there too.
Right.
Yep.
So one of our pieces of feedback from quite a few people that had booths there was that they were really disappointed that they were so busy because they couldn't go see the speakers. And so we've come up with a way this next year to help with that, because I mean, even you guys probably didn't get to sit in on all the speakers because you were busy talking to people. So
yeah,
we're actually going to put, we're going to put the speakers in that third behind a curtain in one third of the building over there in that main area. And then we're going to project the speaker up on that big TV. So you'll be able to hear them, because they'll have a microphone if you wanted to hear them, and you'll be able to see them speaking because they'll be up on that Jumbotron. And that'd so, yeah, because a lot of the booth people were really disappointed that one of the reasons they were there is because this is their niche, right?
Right.
But they really wanted to go see the speakers and weren't able to.
This next year, you know, we're going to have 2 days and we're going to do Friday and then Saturday. And so I think we'll be able to spread them out a little bit too. So give people a little bit more break, because it was amazing how many people sat through all of our talks like all day long. They were just eating it up. And I think it would be good for them to have a little break and go do some shopping. And so I think it'll work out good that way.
There were a lot of people who sat there from, they start at 10, I think.
Yeah.
All the 11. Way we were done. Oh, 11.
Yeah, 11 to all the way till our final.
Yeah. Yeah. I had a couple people before the panel come up to me and be like, that panel is going to end on time so I can shop. Right. And so if I seemed pushy, it was because they really wanted to get some shop time in before the booths shut down for the night. But yeah, because they were in the speakers all day long because they loved them so much.
And I have to say too, that the booths were fantastic. I went to Comic-Con just a couple of weeks previous. And I was like, these booths are okay, but they weren't really my thing. The booths at the Para X, I bought a Bigfoot blanket. I bought a UFO necklace. I got books galore, some really cool pictures. Everything was so awesome. If you're into the paranormal and cryptids, it's like everything you can imagine was right there.
Ended up being luck. Like I ended up with a really good mix of people.
Yeah.
And I just really prepped them for the type of crowd that was coming. I'm like, this is what you do. Well, here's some ideas that you could make that would really be hitting home with the crowd that's coming. And I'm glad they took my advice and everybody pretty much enjoyed the mix of products that were there. That was really nice.
I sure did.
I mean, I think it was more than luck. I think you did an amazing job organizing and pulling that together.
You did, Annie. Thanks so much.
Thank you. It went off without a hitch considering the first year. I think we had a couple little hiccups, but nothing that would have led me to think that went badly in any way. So for a first
year. That's what was most impressive, that it was a first year and it did go so well.
Yeah, there was quite a few vendors that I ran across that refused to come because it was our first year. And I'm sad for them.
That was really cool, too, is how far people were willing to travel for it.
Yeah, we had people that came all the way from Provo. And Spanish we had Fork. Some people that came from Jackson Hole, Wyoming. I do want to mention for anybody that's listening and want to mark it on their calendar, we have the date for it already. It's October 14th and 15th. Friday and Saturday, just really excited about it again.
as you get more information, it'll be on your website, right?
Yep. It'll be on strangerbridgeland.com. Hopefully we'll be able to do a lot of fun stuff with that
too. Yeah. We'd like to make a link to that from ours as well.
We can too. Definitely. Yeah, actually, really I think fun. I did for the last one. So I'd love to do another one.
My brother, I'm sure you all met Kurt.
He told me that he was our biggest fan.
Yeah. I'm
like, we have a fan?
He was so nice. And we got so paid and so many hugs from him.
Oh, I would imagine. He
was so precious. We loved him.
And, go ahead.
You know,
sorry.
You're okay. When we brought him, you know, I told him, I said, we're going to be really busy if you need to go home during the day because you get tired, because he gets tired easy. I said, you're going to need to find a ride to hire him. And he's like, oh, I'm not going to leave. And I thought, yeah, sure. And he was there. He helped us clean up. And I just want to say, you know, everybody was so good to him. You guys were just raved about, you know, everybody's talks and Kristen's. He loved your stories. And it was just really great for him, too, to get out and talk to people. And I just appreciated everybody, you know, being kind to him and just.
Oh, thank us for days.
He was so adoring and wonderful.
He was. That's good.
He thanked us for days. Yeah, he thanked us for days for letting him go. And we're like, well, of course we let you go. And he came in the next day and helped us sweep the floor. And
yeah, we went in on that Monday to just finish cleaning up. And he said, when are you going to go clean? And I said, well, we're going to leave in about an hour. He goes, well, I'm going to go with you because we've got to make sure it's clean. So they'll let you do it next year.
Oh, that's so wonderful.
What a good guy.
Yeah, it was awesome.
If you enjoy our show, please like, subscribe, and leave a 5-star review. We will be introducing other Mystery Media Group guests in our upcoming episodes, along with weekly bonus material. If you like to see more pictures and evidence from our adventures, visit www.destination-mystery.com. You'll find a link to our blog, as well as a link for merch and contact information. Until next time, find your own destination.
Solve the mystery.
This is a production of Mystery Media Group.
Yay!